kind of forgive us and work with us in the process of changing back to our regular setup. So we're moving stuff around tonight, and as far as the mics and things, I think you can still hear me. Everybody can still hear me, right? Okay, good. Deadmire, can you hear me? No, I can't hear you.
She's muted.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Let's look in the Word of God for a few minutes tonight.
Bishop?
Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you there.
That's all right. You'll pick up in a minute. Okay. Let's open the Word of God. Let's see if I can get this sound adjusted here.
Bishop, if you increase your speaker, we can hear you better.
Let's see what we got. Test one, test us. Yeah, that's better. All right. The mic on this works automatically, and when the organ is playing, it automatically lowers the volume, and when the organ goes back, it has to take time to adjust itself by the computer to hear the voices. Let's look in tonight for a few minutes. We won't be here long tonight, and thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I want to tonight, can you hear me now? Can everybody hear me? Sister Nancy, can you hear me? Good. All right. Praise the Lord.
Good. Yes, sir.
Good. Good. We want to pray tonight. I want to remember. I saw a message today from Sister Edith Long Frazier, and she was testifying of a pulmonary condition. And I don't know if you saw it on Facebook or not, but I saw it, and she was talking about how the Lord had healed her and how they were saying that she might have to go on a, what they say, she's going to have a respirator or something if it got any worse. But she was praying and the Lord healed her, and she said she was praying and asked her niece to lay hands on her, and she said she went to the doctor and got better. And she said that she was going to the doctor herself, and she just started praying and speaking in tongues, and she started just laying hands on herself, just touching herself, you know, where the problem was. She says, and she got there, and they told her that, you know, she was just fine. She wasn't going to need a, you know, a respirator or whatever it was. The Lord had really gave her healing, and I thank God for that.
Amen. Yes.
And I really thank God because she was saying that she had prayed her own prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, it's nice. It is nice when people lay hands on you and heal you, but it's nice when you can pray your own prayer.
That's right. Amen.
And she said that she had asked her niece to pray for her. I don't know how old her niece is. I'm not sure who all the, you know, wrong person, young person. But I also like what she said, that she had prayed on her way and asked God, and God moved for her. You need to be able to pray your own prayer.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with asking people to pray for you. By God, by all means, you know, when you're going through, ask people to pray for you. Do that. And if you're in the number, and people are being laid hands on, go up and do that too.
Yes.
I'm not knocking any of that. I mean, any way you can get a hand from prayer, get it.
Amen.
But it's good to be able to pray your own prayers.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And it's because you might not always be around somebody else. And, and then sometimes I think it is so that the Lord lets it be so that he won't answer until you pray your own prayer.
That's right.
So I want to look at tonight, and this, looking at her tonight praying. So her testimony today was good, and I read it, and I said, well, glory to God. Send her back a message saying, glory to God. I'm so glad the Lord blessed her. And it encouraged me because tonight I'm praying for Ilyasha, which is Sister Kim Masson's daughter, who's really fighting a battle right now, and we're going to see what the Lord will do. We just trust in God for her. Pray, and I want the Lord to go and touch her.
Yes.
Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, send your power, oh God, your healing power, and touch her. And I'm praying for Desiree, who's getting settled and getting turned around, you know, Sewell Walker, and she's got some issues and things, and she's adjusting again to a new life. You know, when you get married, you get a new life, and when your spouse dies, you start another new life, you know, or, you know, or you get divorced, however it happens, you started in life, unless you never were really married to start with, and then, you know, kind of same old, but but if you really were married, and I think she was, she and Wayne, that means you became one, then when people leave, you start a new life. When you, you know, if you can, even when a divorce ends bad, it still means you have to start a new life.
Yes.
If you and that person ever really had a life.
Yes.
And, you know, if it just seems like, you know, when it's, when they're gone, hey, okay, they're gone. Well, you know, you stopped having anything a long time ago. So when you put, because there are changes in life.
Yes.
Like the Bible talks about the woman, the prophet, whose husband died. Praying for her because she has a change in life, and I'm praying the Lord to work those things out and bring her through, which I know that He will.
Amen. Yes,
I know the Lord will do that. Jesus, as the song says, Jesus will fix it, and the point of it is Jesus will fix it if you let Him. If you let Him. Now, when you're sick and you're praying for the Lord to heal you, then you're at the mercy of God and you're praying.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know anybody who's sick who won't let God come in and heal them. Well, I take that back. All the people who won't ask Him won't let
That's
Him come
right,
in and heal them.
Yes.
So, you know, that is true. People who won't have, who won't ask God to heal them.
Yes.
But we're praying for them and many others. Praying for Elder Tiangela Rogers, whose sister passed, and that's still got some ongoing things working with that. And the Lord's working them through, and she, you know, the, with her mother. And we want God to, we want the Lord to come in and work those things out.
Yes.
And do those things because He's a fixer. He knows how to fix things, and He knows how to deal with things. He is the thing I love about God is that when He's dealing with the when He's dealing with your issue, He's also dealing with you.
That's right.
And you don't do yourself any favors if you want Him just to fix the issue without fixing you. Whenever, anytime we come in contact with anything in the earth. Earth is a continual trial.
Yes, it is.
It's an ongoing trial. Some days are better than others, but Earth is, ever since the fall in the garden, Earth is an ongoing trial. It's, you know, and even on our good days, it's because of the grace and mercy of God. Now He's keeping us, because Earth has its woes that won't be fixed until Christ comes and restores Earth. In the interim, God sustains and keeps us. So we have to keep asking God to come in and heal us and come in and deliver us. And, and don't let anybody ever convince you to stop asking God to come in and say, I need. And say, well, Bishop Smith, how can you say, you ought not need, you ought not just be begging God every day. His own son told us in the model prayer, he says, you're supposed to say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, which means I can come to Him every day for what I need today.
Yes, amen.
Give us this day our daily bread. And, you know, I'm not even expected to have leftovers from yesterday. Give us this day our daily bread, which means I can ask Him every day. The psalmist wrote, new mercies every day.
Amen.
You know, He makes Himself available every day. And we must learn to come to Him. So I'm praying for them today and praying always for Elder Harrison and the issues, not only in Prince of Peace, but and they're starting to grow and do some things and saw something from her that she's getting ready to have something going on. So I'm praying the Lord will work that out and repopulate that church. And I'm praying He'll repopulate Promise and bring people in here. We started taking the chairs down today and putting them back into some normalcy. That's the reason why the camera angle is different. One of these days, maybe we can afford to have a camera like other churches, and we'll have one mounted in the center.
Yes.
You know, we'll see. But in the interim, that's not my priority. My priority is not cameras. My priority is people. My priority is the move of the Spirit and answered prayers and souls saved and souls saved above everything. I want to see people be saved in this place. I want the message that we preach to save people. I want them to know God's saving grace like He saved us. And so we're praying for that tonight and many other prayers and things that we have before us as they come to mind. And tonight I want us to look in Matthew, I think it is. Or maybe if I want Matthew, I want Luke. I want Luke, the 7th chapter. And I'm praying for Chandra tonight. She's going into this house, and she's having, as we all do, you know, you buy a house, buy a car. If you bought several cars and several houses, it doesn't happen to you. But I remember all the way back in 1974 when I bought my first car, and I drove it home. I wanted it. And I drove it home and parked it in the yard, and I came inside, and all of a sudden, I started saying to myself, why did I buy that car? It's a minor God. It's, you know, it's a Z28. It's a gas hog. I don't make that much money. The insurance is high, and it's sitting out there, and I don't want anybody running into it. I mean, I remember just going through a plethora of things, so I know what it's like, you know, and it's. So it's a devil fighting. No, it's human. Here you are again. You're going into something new, and you need to run. For all of us who own houses, you say, "Well, ain't no big deal owning no house." Well, for us who've been around for a while, it's not. But for somebody who's never bought one before, and then then there's just other little things and woes that come in contact with it, and other concerns. But it doesn't matter. I know somebody who can fix all of them. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers out of them all.
Oh, yes.
I'll tell you what a good thing is. It is good to recognize when you really need God to come in.
Yes.
It is good, it is good sometimes not to be so overly confident.
Yes.
Not that you call up everybody. You know, some people love to grab the phone. You know, they love to grab the phone. And then there are other people who love to be heroes. So anytime there's any difficulty, they don't talk to you all the rest of the time. But all of a sudden, you get a phone call, and they've got all kinds of advice. They want to help, and they want to do all this. Where have you been all this time?
Yes.
I've been, I might not have been in this struggle, but I've been on earth all this time. And a nice call to just say, hey, how you doing, would have been nice.
Yes.
But God is always standing by, and he's always there. And no matter what you go through, the first person on your speed dial should be God.
Yes.
And the one number that you should remember, if you don't remember any other number, is Our Father who art in heaven. It should be God.
Yes.
I come in the name of Jesus. It should be God. Because he's the answer for everything that we have. If you want to know how to work something out, you might end up going to Korah, but let it be because God told you to go to Korah,
yes,
or whoever it is, or to Google,
yes,
or whatever. You know, go to God first.
Yes,
and
yes.
Say, Lord, what can you do for me?
Yes.
And where can I go? And
yes.
And all these the things I like about God, and we all should, is that there's so many little difficult, intricate things in our lives and things we do in order for them to work out. We really need God.
Yes, we do.
So I'm looking tonight in Luke, the 7th chapter, scripture that many people have read, and I could have used this example, or could have used one with the Syrophoenician woman and a daughter who was taken with the devil, or could have used a man by the pool of Bethesda, could have used the disciples who were out in the middle of the storm, could have used Paul when the ship was going down, could have used Jonah in the middle of the ocean, could have used the children of Israel at the Red Sea, could have used Elijah surrounded by the Syrians. Could have used Elijah on the run from Jezebel. Could have used Jacob on the run from Esau. You know, if you don't get it by now, that you need to call on Jesus, I don't know what you're waiting for.
Amen. Yes.
And if you, and one of the things about it when you call on Jesus is when we come, believe it or not, it's just like when the Lord first saved us. You have to come, and other than the power of God that dwells within you and the word of God that dwells within you, we use the word humility, but I'm going to say tonight, you need to come in utter helplessness.
All right.
When you come to God, you need to be wide open for however God will work it out, trusting that the way God works it out is the best because it's God you're coming to. And when we call on God, he wants us to drop the whole situation in his lap, not part of it, and say, okay, God, I got this part, got this part, got this part. He wants you to drop the whole situation in his lap, and the only part that you can hold on to and not drop in God's lap is the part that he's already given you already.
Yes, yes.
He's already done this for you, so you give him the rest, and he's already done that. It never gets to a point where you say, okay, God, I got it from here. No, I'm going to always need God to lead me and guide me, and I'm going to always need God to see me through. Even when I'm changed from mortal to immortal, it is still God who upholds all things by the word of his power, and my immortality will be maintained, sustained by God. My immortality will be sustained by God. I will never become independent from God.
Amen.
And the sooner we learn that, the better.
Yeah.
We make so many blunders trying to be on our own and trying to, you know, I can do this myself and I can do that myself. Or you want to run to this person. You know, Israel's biggest downfall was they always, instead of going to God, wanted to go to Assyria. They liked something about the Assyrians, and they just really like, you know, they had just fallen in love with them. And every time they got in trouble, they wanted to go to Assyria. And if it wasn't Assyria they'd run to, they wanted to go to Egypt. They just admired the Egyptians. And I don't know if they, you know, sometimes, I'm a very appreciative person. You do something for me, I really appreciate it, and I don't forget it. But, you know, you move on, too. I don't know if Israel always thought because of Joseph's time and how God set them down, how they say they owed Israel something.
Yeah.
No, you don't owe them something forever. You owe God, because God was the one who got you down there, and God was the one who got Pharaoh to have favor on you, and God was the one who sustained you in all those years, and God was the one, and then when they got mean to you and turned on you, did everything else, you definitely didn't owe them nothing else. You had paid them back. My God, you got down there and worked for them 270 years and stopped being friends and stopped being comrades and started being workers and bond servants and ended up being slaves. And then you worked over and built their cities and did all that, and they gave you nothing back and put you in bondage and then killed your children and everything. You didn't owe them anything. But you know how it is sometimes? Sometimes we can look at people, we just admire them so much, you know, and we always remember when, hey, look, you paid them back already. The only person you've never paid back is God.
God, amen. That's right.
And it doesn't mean you didn't appreciate them helping you when they did, because they did. Doesn't mean that you can't say, well, you know, when I was really down, they brought me out. But they're not God.
Yeah, well, they're not, yes.
Their mercy doesn't endure forever like God.
Yes, amen.
And so, you know, you have to have everything in its place. Otherwise, when it's time to run to God, you run to Assyria.
Yes, yes.
And when it's time to run to God, Egypt calls.
Yes.
It worked when it, you know, they were there when God put them there for that. But sometimes God puts you in a position, in a situation where you're beyond their help.
Yep. Yes, yes.
You get sick enough. I look at Eliasha. Right now, they're doing everything the doctors can do, but for the most part, she's beyond their help. And if they're able to do anything that works for her, it'll be because God steps in and makes it work, which I'm praying to God that He will do.
Amen.
And God is more than able to do it. Many other situations we have, we need God to step in. And even though He lets us look like they're so easy to do, if they're so easy to do, then why aren't they done?
Yeah.
And when you try every way you can to work something out, and every door keeps closing, then it can't be God's door, because God is a way maker. And you say, well, it worked for everybody else. Yes, but it's you God's working on, not just the thing. It's you God's working on. Haven't you ever wondered how one person can pray and all of a sudden the windows of heaven seem to open up and blessings come and this and this, and you keep praying and nothing comes and seems like everything's being held up? It's you he's working on.
That's right.
And I'll go you one better than that. It's you he loves.
Yes, amen.
Because he's using this to draw you to a point where you'll always be there. It's you he's working on. And what worked for everybody else just can't seem to get things to fall in place. They just, you know, this stops and that stops. The song that is what God told, was it Moses? Who'd he tell? He told someone, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He's saying to you, you need to stand still. And stand still doesn't mean you stop praying, you stop worshiping God, you stop obeying, you stop doing all that. You stop doing the things that you're doing. In other words, you stop depending on the people you've been depending on. You're looking for God to give you a new direction. You're looking for God to step in, and you don't just go home and become a hermit, but you come to a full standstill, and so that God can speak to you. You have to be like He did to Elijah after you ran, and when the fire came, I'm sure Elijah looked over there expecting to hear from God, but God wasn't there. And when the earth shook or whatever, when the wind came, Elijah looked over there, but God wasn't there. And you run to all these places and you go to all these things and you try all these things. And it isn't until you just sit down and say, hey, look, I really don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. I don't know who to call. I don't know where to turn to. Lord, I need you. You're the one constant. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't know where to go. And then God will step in. Then God will step in. Because he's waiting on you not to just become humble. Because, you know, you don't become humble until you become utterly helpless. We won't humble we won't humble ourselves as long as we still have an ounce of strength. We have to wait. For some of us, if we're going to be anybody in God, the Lord has to wait until we just come to utter desperation before we will stand still and stop complaining and whining and listen to God. As long as we can run to Assyria, we will run to Assyria. And as long as we can run to Egypt, we will run to Egypt. Because we don't want to say, I cannot do this. I have failed. In this thing, I'm not saying I'm a failure. I'm saying I couldn't get this done. I can't work this out. And surely when you're talking about a sickness and a healing and an illness, it comes to the point where you have to say the medicines haven't helped me and the prognosis keep getting worse and I'm this and that and the other. I've been to every doctor I can turn to, and what I need is God. Lord, I need you. I don't need you. You know, in place of them, I was going to go this way, but I'll just try you because you're convenient. No, I'm going this way because there is no other way.
Yes.
I'm turning to you because I have turned every other way. And then you have to repent and say, Lord, and I tried not to have to come to you like this.
Yes.
I tried to come bold and boastful and standing and commanding and speaking a word and speaking it and doing all these things and having faith and I'm this and I'm that. I tried to come that way, but please, Lord, here I am. I'm like Job. I'm bowed. I need you. I really need you to come in and help me.
Can't do it.
I've spoken it, heard it, read it, done everything I can do. I've done all those things and turned everywhere. Lord, why isn't it fixed? Then it becomes only one problem. Since God can fix all the other ones, there's no problem he can't fix. And if things aren't turned around, then the problem that needs to be fixed has to be me. It can't be a money shortage because God has the silver and the gold. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So the problem must be me. It can't be that, you know, in the earth, what door is it that God can't open? And what door is it that God can't close? And what is it about the devil that God can't bound? And what is it that God can't lose?
Amen. That's right.
So why is it? So who is he dealing with? Who is lacking?
Me.
It is not God.
That's right.
It has to be me. And what's so good about it is that God's grace and mercy thinks enough about me that he wants to make sure, because he could just let me keep on going down the road the way I am, thinking how great I art and how I art to be this. But God wants me to be something in him. He has. It isn't that God hasn't chose me. It's that he has. It isn't that God has not. It's not that God isn't aware of me. It's that he is.
Yes, amen.
And he sees something about me.
There's
something hanging out. There's something about me that could yet ruin me. There's something about me that if it doesn't ruin me, it will keep me from ever bearing fruit. There's something about me that even if I go into the judgment with the Holy Ghost dwelling in me, I will never come to be what God wants me to be. And I told God I wanted to be this and that. Told God I wanted to do a great work for him, and I told God I wanted to move in the spirit, and I told God I wanted to do this, and I told God I wanted to do that, and God says, okay, but in order to do that, you have to qualify. this about you has to go, and this about you has to change. And I told God, yay, Lord, what things you need to do to me, do for me, do about me, that do. And when God sets about to do it, then we say, well, Lord, why, Lord? And we start turning to Assyria. I'm going to go down. I can't get help directly from God. I'll go to Assyria and get it. Yeah. I can't get help directly from God. I'll call this one over here. Can't get the help directly from God. I'll call that one over there. That's the way we do it.
Yeah.
That's how we are. And then when God sends help, it's not the one we want.
Right.
When he sends a Jeremiah, that ain't who we want to hear from.
Yeah.
When he sends a Micah, that ain't who we want to hear from. We've got all these priests that are dressed in fine linen that we want to hear from. We want them to tell us what to do.
Yep.
I don't want to hear from Jeremiah. I want one of these royal priests to tell me. I don't want to hear from Micah. I want one of these royal priests to tell me. I don't want to hear nobody telling me that, you know, I got to go into bondage for 70 years. I want somebody like Hannah, whatever his name was. I want him to just tell me 2 years and it's it and I'm good to go.
Yes.
But what I don't understand, what I'm not getting is, it's not just my welfare that God has in mind. God has to change me. I can't keep going like I'm going and be what God wants me to be. I'm supposed to be a people, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people. And I can't be that. I can't reap the harvest I'm supposed to reap and do the things I'm supposed to do with myself like I am.
You got that right.
So God is doing something more precious than silver and gold. He's working a work in me. But I'm like, you know, but I'm so stubborn and so sure of myself. I can't see God working in me. It's got to be them and that and this and that. By now, you know, there's so many things going on. You know, if I go to a restaurant and that food isn't good, I don't go back.
Amen.
I don't fight with them. I don't fuss with them. I just don't go back.
Go back. That's right.
If the service is not good, I don't go back.
Yes.
If you are supposed to be doing something for me and you can't do it in a timely manner, I find somebody else.
That's right.
I go somewhere else. Because the Lord leads me and guides me. And he doesn't say to me, stick with that, stay with that. No, God is a success.
Yes.
I'm looking at Jesus in chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and verse 1. Luke chapter 7 and verse 1. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of people, he entered into Capernaum. And if you know and you read before in Luke the chapter before, that's the chapter where he tells them to judge not.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he tells them, he says, you know, y'all need to stop judging people unless you're going to change yourself.
Yes.
He says, because, you know, you're so busy telling everybody what's wrong with everybody else and you're not looking at you.
Yes.
He says, you're so busy trying to, you know, nitpick everybody else and pick everybody else apart, pick out their faults. Listen, it is not good to listen to people who like to talk about everybody. That's corrupt.
Yes.
In other words, it tears down. It doesn't build up. It's not good to talk to people a lot when the bulk of your conversation is not about God or what's going on that is healthy. But, you know, they want you to fill them in on everybody and everything and listen to their opinions and weigh in on them. And you're letting these things come in your mind and everything. You're not strong enough in God yet to realize when it's not edifying, when it's not building up, when it's not comforting. You know, you haven't gotten to a point in God yet where he can say to you, you know, you really don't need to hear all this. This is not what anything is about.
Yeah.
And so Jesus spends time and he tells him, he says, you need to be careful about always talking about this one over here and that one over there. He says, in another place he talks about it, he says, if a brother be overtaken with a fall, let those of the spiritual restore him, considering themselves. You point out every fault that they have over there, every fault that they've got over there. This one's wrong. That one's weak. This one's all these things. This is the conversation and lesson he's had with them to this point.
Yes.
He's trying to get them to get to a point where they'll settle themselves down. And Paul reiterates this in Ephesians and all those chapters when he talks about it. But I'm telling you this so that you'll know when it says in this, when he finished teaching him, he went down to Capernaum. That's what he was teaching him about.
Yeah,
how to get along with each other and how to stop being torn down and learn to build themselves up. He says in this, now when he had ended all his sayings in the ordinance of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. Ready to die means that this is a centurion's son. He's already had the doctor come in. He's already had him looked at several times. They've given him everything they know how to give him in those days. He's Roman because he's a centurion's son, which means he's Roman. He's Italian. They've already prayed to Mars. They've prayed to Mercury. They prayed to Venus. They prayed to Athena. They prayed to Jupiter. They prayed to every god they can get their hands on. They've done all the incantations. They've bled him, probably used leeches on him. Everything they can do, and he's ready to die.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Nothing else left.
Yes.
You don't have to have a situation where people are very, very ill. There can be many other situations and things. The point being is you reach a point where you don't have an answer, and neither does anyone else.
Yes, amen.
Or, let me change that, at least none of the people you're trying to use have an answer.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes other people, God will have other people standing by and say, well, how do you know that, Bishop Smith? Because Naaman in the Old Testament, just give me a moment, I'll just start. Naaman had tried everybody in the world and nobody he went to knew how to cure his leprosy. It wasn't an issue that no one knew how to kill Naaman's leprosy. He just hadn't gone to the right person. And the person who knew how to cure his leprosy wasn't somebody that everybody in the kingdom knew and everybody knew and they were famous and they were this and that and the other. The only person who knew who the right person to go to was somebody who knew God.
Yeah, yes.
And the little maid comes and says, I know somebody who works for God.
Yeah, yeah.
And out of all the people, and then when Naaman went to him, he wasn't what Naaman expected.
Right,
and
right.
He wasn't like Naaman wanted him to be.
Right, right.
But God was showing Naaman, because Naaman thought he had such great power. He's a general. He's got armies. You know, I just need a little help.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing. I just need a little help. I got this. I just need a little help. Naaman needed a lot of help.
Yes.
And with God, when it came to God, he made sure Naaman knew that when I send the person I'm sending, no, you don't get any other choice. You're going to use my person, my river.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to use my person and my river.
Yeah.
I don't care how much you think of the rivers over there. I don't care how much you think of the people over there. I don't care where you are. But you're going to use my person and my river.
Yes, yes.
Because I'm sending it.
Yes, yes.
You're going to do this my way or you're not going to get it done at all.
Yes.
That's the way it is.
That's the way it is.
You're going to come and sooner or later you're going to have to say, to Elijah, you ain't the one I wanted to talk to, but you're the one God sent.
Amen, that's right.
So this centurion, his servant, he's tried everything else, and finally he comes because he's heard about, you know, he's seen Jesus move and seen him heal. And when he heard of Jesus, heard of Jesus' power, heard of his healing power, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. He says, I might be Roman, they might be Jews, we might be occupying their country. They're of no esteem. It ain't Caesar. It ain't Pilate. But I want my servant healed, and this person can do it. It's who I'm going to use.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go to Caiaphas. I'm not going to go to Annas. I am not going to Herod. I'm coming to the one that I heard can heal people.
Yes.
Because I need this fixed.
Yep. Yes.
And he said to them, and when they had come to him, to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do. For he loveth our nation and he hath built us a synagogue. He's done some great things, but his servant ain't healed. He said, well, you know, when it comes down to it, they start talking about his works and all the things that he's done. And they say to him, You've healed us. You've worked for us, and you built the synagogue. You've done some things. He no doubt thought in himself, I'm doing a lot of great things.
Yes.
I'm doing some great things. And Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to them, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter into my roof. You have to come to God and say, Lord, I didn't earn you showing up.
Yes.
Lord, I'm not worthy of you showing up.
Yes.
Lord, I don't deserve you showing up.
Yes.
Lord, I'm no great one that you should just come into me. You have to have that mindset when you show up. Lord, I'm not coming telling you how you deserve to heal me, how you owe it to me to deliver me, how great I am and how I've done all these things. I know about Hezekiah's prayer, but this man tells me, he says, Lord, you know what? I'm not worthy you should come to my house.
Yeah.
I'm not. In other words, I don't need, I don't have a reason why you should do this.
Yeah.
But I know one thing. He says, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee to say, but to say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. He says, I didn't even think I was worthy to come to you and ask you. Don't let anybody come between you and Jesus so that you're afraid that you can't call on Jesus yourself. You got to go to them first.
Yeah, right.
Then he says, I didn't even think I could come ask you.
Yes.
He says, but I also am a man set on authority, and since I understand that, having under me soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned about and said unto the people that follow him, I say unto you, I have not heard, found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house, found the servant whole, and that had been made sick. In other words, this man told Jesus, and when you read it in Matthew, he says, but if you say that my servant should be healed, and I'll read that one. It's in Matthew 8 chapter. He says, but Matthew 8 and 8, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He says, if the Lord decides to heal him, all God has to do is say, be healed.
Yes.
And the Lord decides to work things out, and they will be worked out. You need to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm coming today, and I'm not saying that I'm not great and going through all this, but I need you to deliver me.
Yes.
And I need you to work this out. I'm in an impossible situation. I'm way past, the time where I can have several options or things are not going my way. I'm beyond that. The Red Sea's to my back. Egyptians are coming. Or here I am like Elijah. I'm surrounded by Syrians. Or I'm like Naaman. I'm covered by leprosy and nothing will happen. I'm all these situations. I'm way beyond having any other options.
Yes.
I really need you to come in and help me.
Yes. Come in, Lord. Help me.
Lord, which way shall I go? Who do I turn to?
Yes.
Who can I use? Send somebody.
Yeah.
That will do what I need done. Do like you did for Naaman.
Yes.
Send me someone that will heal me. Send somebody. And then who did God send? He didn't send another one of the princes. He didn't send one of the priests. He didn't send one of the Levites. He sent the chambermaid.
Yeah. Yes.
Somebody that Naaman wouldn't even notice him. Somebody that Naaman wouldn't even have in his presence. Somebody that the king wouldn't notice. She's cleaning the chamber every day, doing all of the king doesn't even know who she is. And by third hand, somebody comes along and says, I know a little somebody who knows somebody who can fix what you need. This is how humbling he made Naaman. It wasn't even highly recommended by people. Oh yes, I have power, I know this one over there, that one over there. He says, no, I know somebody. I know a little maiden over there. She says she knows somebody who can heal him. And Naaman had to trust that, she knew somebody. And then when he came to Elijah, Elijah didn't come out like he thought. He thought Elijah was going to come out in great pomp and circumstance and do all these things. Elijah didn't come himself. He sent his servant.
That's right.
He sent Gehazi out there. And he didn't come out and prophesy. And he didn't go no long prayer. And he didn't wait until he got into a great big assembly. And he didn't pray no, he didn't make no great big option of it. Didn't tell no long story. No long tail. He just came out and said, Elijah said, go dip into Jordan seven times. Bye. I loved it when Elder Johnson preached it. I can't preach it like he preached it. Elder Jeffrey Johnson, long time ago. Elijah said, go jump and go dip into Jordan seven times. Bye. That's all he said. And Naaman got upset about that. Yes. And Naaman's people had to say to him, hey, look, you got leprosy, man. You know, you ain't got nothing to lose.
Right.
Naaman said, hey, look, I'm Naaman. I don't swim in the Jordan. And who does he think he is? Send word to me. Send word to me. And his soldiers had to say to him, hey, look, man, you got leprosy. We scared of you ourselves. We don't like, you know, I mean, you know, as the conversation goes, you know, somebody got leprosy, who wants to be around them?
Yes.
And they're ready for him to be healed too. Wouldn't you be?
Yes.
Sometimes I see people in trouble. I'm ready for God to move for them too.
Yes, amen.
I'm tired of them going through what they're going through, you know, more than others.
Yeah.
Other people sit back, watch them going through. Don't even know they're having a hard time. Don't care that they're having a hard time.
Yeah.
And then there are those of us who are saying, praying for them day and night, Lord, please work this out.
Yeah.
Lord, please work this out. Oh, God, we really need your help. This needs to be fixed. This needs to be worked out. We're like the centurion servants. The centurion didn't come, but his servants came and said, oh, you know, he says, please come and help out servant out. Says,
yeah.
You know, please work this out. Then the centurion met Jesus when he showed up. But, you know, this little servant girl and all these people, they had to come for Naaman.
Yes.
But then when Jesus comes, the centurion makes the... By then, he says, well, you know what? I really didn't expect you to show up. I'm not worthy you should come. He says, but I know even now, if you just say the word,
yes.
He says, but I'm ready to say now, Lord, if you'll help me.
Yes.
It'll work out.
Yes.
Maybe it's time to turn and say, Lord,
yes.
If you'll help me,
yes.
This will work out.
Yes.
And Lord, you know, done a lot of things they have not worked. It's time to come clean and say, Lord, what I have done in my own strength.
Yeah.
I've tried as many times as I can to assert myself. I'm a Roman centurion. When I send for doctors, they come.
Yes.
I try to assert myself. I'm Naaman.
Okay.
Hey, I'm in charge of the Assyrian army. What I say goes. No, what they realize, what the centurion realizes, he says, Jesus has more power than I have.
Yes.
And if I can command people to come and go, surely this man, if he says, my servant is healed, he will be healed.
Healed.
You know what you need to say? Yes, I'm able to do some things. Everybody standing. I can do some things. I know some people. I can call on this. I've got good health care. And I trust the physician if it's sickness. And I like this. I trust the whoever it is that you got trust in. And I do all this. But you know what? They've done all they can do. I need the Lord to step in.
Yes, yes.
I need to know who it is. I'm Naaman. I've gone to everybody in Assyria trying to get healed, and nobody can do it. By now, I've had a potion, every pill, every sorcerer, every witch. I mean, you know, I'm Naaman. You know, spare nothing. I've looked at everybody in every corner. I've asked every king. I've probably killed a few people trying to be healed or whatever it is. And now I have to come down to trusting the word of a chambermaid. That ain't who I wanted to believe in. And then she sends me to somebody. And they don't recognize my brilliance either. But they know God.
Yes.
And I just need someone who can do the will of God.
Yes.
And work this problem out. This centurion comes. He says, this man has power. He has the power of God.
Yes.
I just need somebody to work this situation out. Chandra says the other day she's apprehensive about her house. Just trust God. Ask God to send people to do this and send people to do that. And don't let who you know or how you know enter into it unless God approves. Surely from time to time people help you who God approves.
Yes.
But get God's approval.
Yes.
And when they look like they're not on your side, not working with you, yes. going too long, doing as you're getting caught, all this stuff, they're not working with you, they can't be coming from God.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because it's going to be smooth. Yep, yes.
Because when God works things out, as Elder Smith says, yeah, he'll make the rough road smooth.
Yes.
Can't be God.
Yes.
Ask God who the little person is, wherever it is, that can do what you want done.
Yes.
Who it is, and ask God, if it's beyond all man's help, ask God to come in the room and heal.
Yes.
Ask God to let the medications take effect.
Yes.
Ask God to give healing power to the body. Ask God to touch by his spirit. Ask God to work things out. Ask God. Have faith in God. That's what Jesus told the disciples. Have faith in God. Praise the Lord. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, even in Promised Church, Lord, we ask you, Lord, we've tried all the things we know how to do, Lord, to be able to be fruitful and reap the harvest. And Lord, we come tonight, Lord. Lord, we are not worthy. We haven't done so much, Lord, that you should help us. Lord, you are a merciful Savior. Lord, you're a great God. And Lord, we desire to do thy will, oh God. And Lord, if you'll lead us and guide us and show us which way to go, Lord, we will do what you say to us. Lord, when you say go right, we will go right. And when you say go left, we will go left.
Yes.
And Lord, whosoever you will send, Lord, whosoever you will send,
yes,
we will receive.
Yes.
Lord, whatever way you decide, Lord, we will go. And what things you say that we should do, Lord, we will do. Lord, we only pray, Lord, send us a word.
Yes.
Send your spirit and lead us and guide us, oh God. Lord, we will put our trust in you. Lord, we pray, Lord, you heal tonight. Touch Ilyash, move Elder Tienzo Rogers, and for India, all those, Elder Harrison, for all those who have any sickness, Elder Deborah Sewell, God, touch her in the body and give her a miracle, Lord, that she had not expected. Lord, move by your great power. Heal her in the name of Jesus for your great name's sake. Lord, touch Elder Smith. Touch Bishop Smith. Lord, touch all of us. Touch Elder Reed. Move, Lord, for Minister Cadogan, oh God, in this house. Lord, there are some things that are suspect in that area and around. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would put your head of protection all around and just work things out and cause things to fall out for your glory and for your honor. And every step we've taken, every prayer you answer, be great or small, Lord, we will glorify your name. Lord, even more, Lord, we'll glorify you while we're waiting, while we're standing. Lord, we'll continue in you, Lord. And Lord, move on our behalf. Lord, move for Emmanuel. Lord, I pray, Lord, change things there and work things out. Lord, it's gone on for a long time. Satan, the Lord, rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Loose it in Jesus' name. Lord, the devil has tried every way he could to hold that up. Lord, but I pray, Lord, even now, Lord, you move open doors. Get the contractors on the job. Lord, get the plans signed. Get them stamped. Those things that need to be done, oh God. Lord, move and have people step in. Lord, that come from you, oh God. And people that will work and people that will do. Lord, and we will have none of the glory. We'll have none of the honor. We won't say it's who we knew and how we knew them and all those things. Lord, we'll say it is the Lord. We'll be like Naaman. We'll glorify God. Lord, I know you know somebody. You know the right ones. You know the right way. Lord, move, Lord, for your glory and for your honor, oh God. And work these things out. Lord, we'll glorify your name. And we'll praise you, oh God. We'll say it's what the Lord has done. We'll say it's how the Lord has moved. Lord, and promised church. Lord, send men and women. Lord, to glorify your name. Lord, send men and women to lift up holy hands. Lord, send men and women and children, Lord, to learn of the word of God, that they might be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, oh Lord. Lord, their names will be written on high. Lord, move among us. Work things out. Lord, move by your spirit. Lord, put your spirit in this place. Go before us as you did Israel, Lord. Lord, anoint us to do the will of God. Lord, bless in every corner. In the name of Jesus. Bless Minister Stedmeyer and Mother Ware, oh God. Lord, all those who tuned in, and Lord, bless the Gamble family, Lord. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, restore to every one of us the joy of your salvation. In Jesus' name. Lord, remember Sister Nancy, oh God. Lord, work things out for her. In the name of Jesus. Say to the Lord, rebuke you. you're a liar and the father of it. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, touch Sister Nancy and make her whole. Lord, drive the devil out. Lord, every time we pray for her, Lord, it seems to get worse. Say to the Lord, rebuke you, you're a liar.
Yes.
Loose her in Jesus' name and make her all the way whole. In the name of Jesus. Lord, our trust is in you. Lord, we put our trust in you. Lord, touch her hands. Touch her body. Lord, deliver her from this neuropathy. Have you pronounced it? I rebuke it in Jesus' name and command it to go and not return. In her, in the elder's soul. Lord, loose them from it. I pray thee, O God, because of your mercy, because of your grace, not because we deserve it, but because you are a great God and a mighty God. Lord, show forth thy great power for thy great name's sake. Lord, we'll glorify your name. Lord, we don't deserve it, O God. Lord, we're not worthy. Lord, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and in Jesus' name, because of your precious Son, Lord, move on our behalf. Lord, we'll glorify you and we'll glorify your Son. Lord, we will say it as well with our souls. Lord, we will praise you. And Lord, we'll give you glory and honor. And we'll thank you for your precious Holy Spirit who moves in us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Thank God for all of you. I'm praying the Lord will move on your behalf. And in every way and work out every situation, I pray God will move. Stretch forth our hand. Stretch forth his hand. Peter said, give us great boldness. In other words, raise these churches up and give us boldness to preach by stretching forth his hand to heal and by signs and wonders.
Yes.
Moving among us, if we will come to God. So I thank God for his goodness. Promise is getting back on its regular schedule on Sunday morning. We will start right now with Christian education at 10 o'clock and then about 10:55 or right at 11, we will transition. Probably take about a 5 or 10 minute break at the most, no more than that, and then we'll go into our morning worship service. Trying to go around 11 or 11:10, I'll say the latest, but we'll just call it 11. So we'll have our Christian education first, like we normally do. And I'm not having it just because of tradition. There's a great need for it. It's
yes.
Some things you do just because of tradition. Some traditions you have because there's a need, and this is one of them. So we need to have our Christian education. We need to have our morning worship service. We need to go back to that. I was mentioning, Shantae asked me today if I was going to go back to our evening prayer. I'm going to go back to that. We stopped having evening prayer, I promise, because our finances were very tight in order for us to keep our utilities and things flowing without going to too much of a press. We started to do not having evening prayer to heat and cool the building, but it's getting kind of cool now, so we're good. And it's time to go back to that because we need the prayer.
Yes.
We don't just need the prayer because we're praying for others. We need the prayer because we need to pray for ourselves. I need the prayer.
Amen.
So I thank God for that. So we'll be going back to that. So Sunday morning, we'll be here at 10 o'clock. Friday night of this particular week, I will be on Zoom with the Mastins. But I will send you the link. And what I'll more than likely do in case you don't get it, I will open Zoom here in Promise.
Yes.
It will probably be, I'll probably open it around 7 o'clock, same time as usual, so I'll open Zoom at 7, because they start at 7:30, which is 6:30 our time, but by the time it gets around to the point where, you know, I would be ready to speak or do anything, then it'll be time to open our Zoom anyway, so I'll open it. It's just in case you get confused and don't get the Zoom link from the Masters, which I'll ask India to send out to all the, you don't have to send it, you can send it out to all the, to whomever. He's going to do a podcast anyways. However, he's going to do that. And I'll be there on Thursday night and Friday night doing a revival. And each night, I'll probably be on for about 30, 35, 40 minutes at the most, and no longer than that. And then he's going to be in the park on Saturday. He's going to have Ella Carol Chisholm, who's going to be doing, a musical and workshop. And he's also going to have Minister Kenita Williams, or Elder Kenita Williams, I think she is now. Nicholas Williams. I'm not sure exactly what his title is, but whatever it is, glory to God. And he's going to have them. I don't know how all of them will be involved. I just know that they're part of it, and so you can tune in and see. I know Pastor Maston is working diligently to build his church, and anything he's doing in order to get his church. And when he's talking about building a church, he's not talking about a building. He's talking about people.
People, amen.
He hasn't even. I know they have buildings in the back of their mind, but that's not their problem.